A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. And just as the living Father has sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, unlike your ancestors who ate and still died. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. I can't help it, but every year when we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, I'm always in my mind and my heart transported back to those days when I was a seminarian in Rome. And every June we'd celebrate this Feast of Corpus Christi. And the Pope would have a procession through the streets of Rome, starting at the Church of St. John Lateran, the Basilica of St. John Lateran, and going over to the Basilica of St. Mary Major. It was a little less than a mile, probably, to procession. But there were always thousands and thousands of people there, 10, 15,000 people, and the Pope would carry the Blessed Sacrament through the streets. And there'd be speakers set up all along the way for the music, and people would decorate their homes and townhouses and apartments with flowers. And there'd be cardinals and bishops and priests and seminarians and thousands of lay people. And in the Diocese of Rome, Corpus Christi is always celebrated on a Thursday, whereas most of the world, we put it on Sunday. And the procession would tie up traffic in rush hour because it cuts right across the center of Rome. And the Italian police would have to block all the traffic on the route. And year after year, the mayor would go to the Pope and say, please, why don't you do it on Sunday? It'd be a lot easier for everybody. And John Paul II would say, it's a good thing that the city stops as the Lord passes through. I never forgot that. It was always so powerful, so beautiful, the procession. And we've got to be so grateful for this greatest gift that Jesus left us, the Eucharist. You know, you could read this gospel from the point of view of thinking that, well, Jesus just meant this kind of symbolically. Right? He didn't mean for us really to eat his flesh and drink his blood. That's cannibalism, right? And that's exactly the way the Jews that were listening to him took it. And that was even bigger than our society, that was a huge taboo in Judaism. No cannibalism or drinking the blood of an animal. And so it was abhorrent to them. And very sadly and very tragically, this has been the source of so much division among Christians. It's a little bit of an overstatement, but for the most part, all our Protestant brothers and sisters don't believe this. They believe, like the Jews, that it was only symbolic. He's only talking about his flesh in some symbolic sense. And he didn't mean it literally. And so they think that the Eucharist, that we have is over the top, and that's why some of the more radical Protestants say that, you know, the church is the Antichrist, the Pope is the Antichrist, and the church is the whore of Babylon, and they have terrible things to say about the Catholic Church, which would all be true if they were right about the Eucharist and the priesthood. But fortunately, we've got the true faith, that Jesus meant it literally, that when that bread and that wine is on the altar, the words of the priest transform that bread and wine into the true body and blood of the risen Christ. And that is the faith of the church for 2,000 years. I came across this quote from St. Ignatius of Antioch, who wrote this in the year 106. Now, St. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of the last apostle, St. John, who died, they think, around the year 95 to 100. Okay? And St. Ignatius of Antioch was writing to the people, the Christians in Smyrna, because they were having some problems in the church back then. And he's talking about certain people in the church. It says, they abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer because they confess not the Eucharist to be the flesh of our Savior Jesus Christ, who suffered for our sins and who is the Father of his goodness raised up again. Those therefore who speak against this gift of God incur death in the midst of their disputes. He's talking about spiritual death. There were people in the early church who denied the Eucharist to be the true body and blood of Christ. And St. Ignatius is speaking out against them. Now, he had received all his teaching from the last apostle, St. John. It was only a few years after he died. I doubt he had time to mess it up and get confused about what they really thought. Like, how would he go from, if St. John and the other apostles had taught it was a symbol of something, how would they be teaching that it's the true flesh of Jesus Christ? And when you read that quote, it's impossible to think of the Eucharist from a Protestant point of view. That is just a symbol. You wouldn't have written that if that's what you thought. So what St. Ignatius in the year 106, he's reflecting the basic doctrine of the Christians of his time, that this had been going on for a while. And if you look at that second reading we did, it's St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Now, this is like 50 or 60 years even before that. You remember the St. Paul story was, he was not a follower of Jesus during his lifetime. He was a Pharisee. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, St. Paul started persecuting the Christian as a good Pharisee. He was like the hitman. He was arresting them and dragging them off to jail, executing some of the Christians, because he saw them as a breakaway sect from Judaism with these outlandish views that Jesus had risen from the dead. And then he has his conversion on the road to Damascus, as we all know. But he's writing this in the early 50s, less than 20 years after Jesus had died and rose. And he says, brothers and sisters, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread we break, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ, in the body of Christ? Because the loaf of bread is one, and we, though many, are one body. We all partake of the one loaf. Okay, we don't use loaves anymore. We use the host. But he's writing this about the Eucharist that the Christians were already celebrating. Right? In the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, it refers to the apostles going and partaking in the breaking of the bread. That was their word for the Mass, right? And they didn't have churches. They celebrated in the catacombs, underground, when they were being persecuted, or privately in people's homes, of course. But what they say, what they refer to as the breaking of the bread, is what we refer to as the Mass. It probably wasn't the exact same form, no, but it was the true Mass. And then, writing to the Corinthians later on, chapter 10, St. Paul says this, I received from the Lord what I delivered to you. This is when the Lord appeared to him. That the Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had said the blessing, broke it and said, "This is my body which will be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, the chalice after supper, saying, "This is the chalice of the new covenant of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the chalice, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man first examine himself." It's hard to get that. St. Paul is talking about what the Christians were doing already. And he was a latecomer to the game. And he had received it in a vision of the Lord. And then he had been taught by the apostles. Sometime in the 40s, in the early 50s, St. Paul received his faith and learned. So what we celebrate at Mass is the true body and blood of our Lord. And it's such a shame, you know, 500 years ago, our Protestant brothers and sisters broke away from the church. And they're our brothers and sisters because they share so much with us. Their faith in the divinity of Jesus, the Trinity, the redemption by Jesus Christ. But I would say that that breakaway was diabolical. Not that they are demons, but that the devil tried to divide the church over the most important doctrine, that this is the true body and blood. And that since then, they're deprived of the grace of the Eucharist. They have no priesthood. They have no Eucharist. They only have the sacrament of baptism. And we enjoy all of that. Praise be Jesus Christ. And that's why we have an adoration chapel. That's why we have people coming through, hundreds of people every week, to take an hour before the Blessed Sacrament. That's why we have a procession through the streets today to proclaim our belief in the body and blood of Christ, which is our salvation. And if anything was a symbol, what we read about in Deuteronomy, the first reading, it was that bread from heaven that God fed the Israelites through their journey through the desert from Egypt to the promised land. And he gave them bread from heaven because they were starving. And that sustained them for those 40 years of the journey to the promised land. The manna from heaven was a symbol of the Eucharist to come, not the other way around. And in that same way, the Eucharist is our food for eternal life. Each of us is on that journey to the promised land. And we receive that Eucharist that feeds our soul so that we can get to heaven. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will have no life within you. What a beautiful teaching. What a beautiful and profound thought. That the Lord didn't just give us some scriptures to live by and some commandments to fulfill. Instead, he gave us his very body and blood to feed our souls and keep them alive and healthy and strong throughout this long journey of life. That's so hard for us sometimes. That's so difficult for so many to persevere. And we have the Eucharist that sustains us on our journey. So let's give thanks to God today for this gift, and let's grow deeper and deeper to appreciate this great gift of the Eucharist.